ready to smile again with radio's home folks, Vic and Sade, written by Paul Reimer. Vic and Sade is brought to you by Crisco, the pure all-vegetable shortening. It's digestible. And now here's Zella Lay. Golly, Zella, what a flock of letters.
And they're all letters praising Crisco's wartime cookbook. It's good to read the nice things people say about recipes for good eating. That's the title of Crisco's new cookbook, friends. And it's a beauty. Packed with Crisco recipes, 64 pages, with color photographs of tempting dishes, method pictures of tricks that make cooking a joy. And that's only half the story. You know, friends, it's the most practical cookbook imaginable, especially these days when marketing can be a problem. You should see the variety of Crisco recipes, time-saving hints for wartime meals, grand ways to fix leftovers, appetizing tricks for inexpensive cuts of meats, and wonderful Crisco cakes, pies galore. Nothing's overlooked. It even gives alternate ingredients for recipes in case there are foods you can't buy. I could go on for hours, but goodness, you'll want to get one. Just print your name and address clearly. Mail it with 10 cents in coin and a Crisco label, any size. Address Crisco, Department A, Cincinnati 1, Ohio. Got that? 10 cents in coin with a Crisco label, any size. Address Crisco, Department A, Cincinnati 1, Ohio. The offer is only good in the United States, and since you'll have to allow 14 to 18 days for delivery, send today for Crisco's wartime cookbook. And now back to Vic and Sade.
Well, sir, the evening meal has been over only a little while as our scene opens now. And here in the living room of the small house halfway up in the next block, we find Mr. and Mrs. Victor Gough. Vic is established in his easy chair with a newspaper, and Sade, industriously darning socks in the Davenport, thinks idle thoughts. And at this moment, happening to glance at her husband and noting something arresting about his facial expression, she says, after a season of close scrutiny,
"Do you need glasses?"
"Beg pardon, Dr. Speech?"
"You're squinting so. Got your face scrooged around like a corkscrew. I bet you need glasses."
"No, I don't think so."
"Well, did you realize you were twisting your eyebrows and pursing up the corners of your mouth?"
"Yeah."
"What's the idea?"
"Oh, nothing." "Paper states they had a sharp thunderstorm in Hopedale yesterday afternoon."
"Hmm."
"Blew down 15 telegraph poles outside Minear."
"We got the tail end of that."
"Uh-huh."
"Speaking of Hopedale, did you know Miss Apparat was a Hopedale girl?"
"Uh-uh."
"I never knew her till today. And she's lived in half a dozen towns around Hopedale. Delavan, Stanford, Nassiger, and several others. Her papa was an agent for a veterinary supply house. Horse medicine and such stuff. A very well-to-do man, Miss Elders was telling me. Owned 5 farms in McLean County." "You're doing it again."
"Doing what again?"
"Scrooging your face around."
"Does it improve my face any?"
"No."
"It doesn't give me an authoritative look? Doesn't elicit a feeling of respect and deference?"
"No."
"Okay.
What's this now?"
"Oh, nothing. A nice section of the country around Hopedale and Delavan and Nassiger there. Somebody was telling me they'd rather have 100 acres of land there
than
they
would." "You were doing that on purpose, huh?"
"What?"
"Twisting your eyebrows out of shape and curling up the corners of your mouth."
"Okay, Mr. Wolf, I surrender. A man with a shrewd, observant wife has got 2 strikes on him."
"Well?"
"I confess it. I was distorting my features on purpose. You'll probably consider this a trifle on the childish side, and I hadn't intended to say anything about it, but since you're so sharp and alert, I guess you've got an explanation coming if you want it."
"Well, don't let me force you to give away any secrets."
"No secrets, Uncle Harry. No secrets at all."
"Huh?"
"When you noticed me grimacing and screwing my eyebrows around, I was practicing."
"Oh?"
"I was practicing facial expressions."
"Oh?"
"You see, I was told this afternoon that I..."
"You were told this afternoon what?"
"Oh, this is one of those businesses that you roast and ride me about, kiddo. Even if I admit in advance, I realize it's silly and absurd. You always put me on the
pan." "Oh, well, yes, you gotta tell now that you started to tell. What's silly and absurd? What were you told this afternoon?"
"I was told that I..."
Oh, for goodness sakes.
I can tell by the way you're looking at me. You're all set to call me a half-wit and a sissy dolly-doo.
Well, fine. Go ahead and speak your piece, and then I'll call you a half-wit and a sissy dolly-doo.
No, but a guy hates to stick his neck out and have it lopped off.
Well, what were you told this afternoon?
I got cheeks and blue eyes.
Why? Say it again. You got what kind of eyes?
Pearson blue.
Pearson blue?
Pearson blue.
You've got Pearson blue eyes?
Yeah.
He's got Pearson blue eyes.
It's not fair, say, to make a guy reveal some trivial little junk and then pounce on him.
I'm not pouncing.
You see, what's happened...
I know was... just what you're going to say.
Well, I was going to say...
You were going to say you and a crowd of the kids were loitering around the telephone switchboard this noon, waiting for the 1 o'clock whistle to blow, and... You got talking about pretty eyes, and somebody spoke up and says, Gook, you're the lad with the eyes. You've got Pearson eyes.
Said, I've got to hand it to you.
I'm correct, huh?
You reconstructed the scene and the dialogue with uncanny accuracy.
Who said you had Pearson blue eyes, Lolita DiRenzi?
I forget.
I shouldn't think a person would forget who give him a compliment as sweet as that one.
No, really, I don't remember. The conversation was general, and it escapes me who made
the... Was Lolita in the crowd?
Yes, she was in the crowd, and she participated in the discussion. But it was Steve Chestbutter that did most of the talking.
What did Steve Chestbutter say?
He spoke seriously about my eyes.
Hey.
The subject of the conversation found its source, naturally, in that beauty contest I told you about the other day. The lads and lassies were joshing Lolita and myself about our pretty
lads
eyes.
Lads and lassies, huh?
I'm referring to the kids skulking around the switchboard.
Sure. The lads and lassies were joshing you and Lolita about your pretty eyes, and somebody called out, Hey, Gook, you're the baby with the eyes. You've got Pearson eyes.
Say, you make it sound so ridiculous.
Oh, do I? Gee, I'm sorry. Bess might not be so far wrong when she talks about high old times down at the office.
What?
Nothing. Go ahead with what you were telling. Steve Chestbutter spoke seriously about your eyes, huh, to the lads and lassies and kids hanging around the telephone switchboard. What'd he say?
He agreed with Lolita DiRienzi when she remarked that I had Pearson blue eyes. And he averred that Pearson blue eyes...
It was Lolita that said you had Pearson blue eyes.
I don't know. May have been. May have been anybody.
But you said Steve agreed with Lolita. You said...
Steve agreed with whoever remarked I had pretty blue eyes.
Pearson blue eyes.
What?
Pearson blue eyes. You said pretty blue eyes.
I got pretty blue eyes?
You got beautiful blue eyes.
I had an idea our little confab would take this turn if I opened my trap.
No, not at all. I'm sorry if I sounded sarcastic. What did Steve Chestbutter aver? You started to say he averred something.
He averred that if he were I and had Pearson blue eyes, he'd cultivate facial expressions to accompany those Pearson blue eyes.
Oh, and that's what you were doing, huh, when I happened to glance at you and caught you scrooging your face around.
You never caught me at anything. I'm not the least bit ashamed that I was scrooging my face around.
What else did Steve say?
He said if he were I and had Pearson blue eyes like mine, he'd lower his voice to a deeper pitch.
Well...
Good afternoon, Mr. Montgomery. I'm Victor R. Gook. I wondered if you'd be interested in 30,000 shares of gold mine stock.
That's the way you'd talk and look, huh?
Well, I haven't practiced much, of course, and don't have much proficiency, but that's an approximation of it.
Uh-huh.
I'm gratified, Mr. McWilliams, that you want me to run for governor, and I'll certainly give the matter profound thought.
Wouldn't he think you had some kind of nervous trouble?
Why?
Your eyebrows all twisted into lumps and the corners of your mouth drawn down and your nose twitching.
Those grimaces are intended to call attention to my pretty blue eyes.
Pearson blue eyes.
I mean, Pearson blue eyes, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Sadie, I was wondering if by chance you'd seen anything lately of my brown leather easy slippers which seem to have disappeared.
Oh, don't pull that trash on me.
Well, I merely inquired whether or not...
Oh, stop it. Gives me the willies to see your eyebrows moving around in circles and your jaw.
The telephone is ringing. The telephone is ringing.
I said stop it, Vic.
I suppose you're so thin-skinned.
Yes,
that
I am. Thin-skinned as a horse.
Telephone's ringing.
Will you get it? Most likely Russell wanting permission to stay till 11 o'clock.
Where is he?
Oyster Cracker's house. You talk to him. I got my lap full of socks. Tell him 11 o'clock's all right, but not 1 second past 11 o'clock. He's not going to run this stunt in the ground, even if it is summer vacation.
Hello? Hello, Ted.
500, huh?
Fine as silk, Ted. How goes it with you? Why, I wouldn't be one bit surprised, Ted. We're just sitting here with our teeth in our mouth. One second, old pal. I have here on the wire Mr. Ted Stembottom.
Sure, he sounds fine. Tell him to skip on over as soon as they can jam on the hat.
Ted, the wife is exulting at the prospect of an evening at cards, Ted.
Oh, hey, stop that.
Come right on over, Ted.
You look insane staring and blinking into the telephone like that.
How's that, Ted?
Stop it.
Why, almost any flavor ice cream suits us. What flavor ice cream would you like Ted to bring over?
Dick, stop that silliness.
What flavor ice cream would you like Ted to bring over?
Strawberry flavor.
Strawberry flavor, Ted. That's right. Fine, Ted. You bet, Ted, and we'll be looking for you. Goodbye, Ted.
That was a wonderful performance.
Ted will bring over strawberry flavor ice cream.
Did you expect Ted to see your piercing blue eyes over the telephone?
Sadie, perhaps you'd better accustom yourself to this manner
of speech. I can see myself accustoming myself. Oh, sir. You can just forget your pretty piercing blue eyes and the lads and lassies that got nothing else to do but hang around that telephone switchboard talking silly.
Telephone's ringing. Telephone's ringing. I'll answer it. I'm right here.
Vic, not a word of that wild, crazy talk when Ted and Ruthie get here. You have fun with your pretty piercing blue eyes down at the office.
Hello? Who? No, this is a Victor R. Gook residence. No, I'm afraid you have the wrong number. Not at all. Goodbye.
I mean that now, Vic. Not one word of wild, crazy, piercing blue eyes business when Ted and Ruthie get here.
Sadie, honey.
What?
Come here and sit in my lap.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. And now, here's Zella Lake.
Remember my mentioning a good cake for lunchboxes? Well, another good suggestion was given me by a woman who has 3 lunchboxes to fix every day. A regular applesauce cake, made with cooked prunes instead of raisins. And does Crisco turn it out wonderful? Moist, full of flavor, and really light. Now, you know that's an accomplishment, being able to turn out cakes that are wonderfully light. But that's what comes of using Crisco for cakes. And cakes made with Crisco taste every bit as good as those made with butter. And that means something when you consider Crisco costs only about half as much. Well, you try a Crisco cake. Just notice how light it is. You see, Crisco has a cake secret that gives you lighter cakes than you get with any other shortening. Even the most expensive shortening. And Crisco cakes are the best tasting, too. See for yourself. Any of the cake recipes in Crisco's new wartime cookbook will prove that. Send for your copy of Recipes for Good Eating today. Just mail your name and address and 10 cents in coin with a Crisco label, any size. Address Crisco, Department A, Cincinnati 1, Ohio.
And don't forget to listen to Vic and Say the next time. This is Ed Roberts saying good day for Crisco. It's digestible. National Broadcasting Company.